a big old friend Iron.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Pace Labs podcast. I am RJ Starcevic here along with my co-host
Matt Narvaez.
Thank you so much for coming in. We are here recording it together just like we did. When was that we recorded that one episode in the studio? Was it January?
Studio, you're talking studio at my school?
I think it was last year.
No, that was last year in the summer.
Yeah, that's one of my
summer podcasts.
Because we were mid-season back then.
Yeah, so we were about mid-season.
Time has flown by, and it's been since February 5th. It's an episode that's been posted here on the Pace Labs podcast. We got a lot to unpack, a lot to talk about. And a lot of exciting things possibly in the future for us as well. But I think the first thing that we can kind of start to talk about is Dover. Dover just took place. Denny Hamlin was the victor there. It was kind of dominated by the same three guys, majority of the race. Stage one was won by Truex. Stage two was won by Larson. But ultimately, it was Denny Hamlin getting the victory. It came down to about the last, from what I remember, really the last 10 to 15 laps that were competitive between the two. Larson was catching Hamlin. He got stuck in some lap traffic. Dirty air was huge, as it's been in the next gen car, but especially at Dover. Hamlin was able to kind of play that air blocking game on Kyle Larson. Larson got close. It allowed for, you know, everybody to kind of stand up a little bit, get excited for that finish, but just not close enough in the end. Denny Hamlin was able to get the win. So you know, did you see any of the closing laps of the finish? What can you take away from kind of the biggest storyline coming out of the weekend, which is dirty air?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I think it is. Not to completely derail what you were saying there, but one thing that must be noted is that we're finally back in person. We usually been doing this through Zoom on the computer, and it's great to have that chemistry back.
Zoom sucks.
It does. Yeah. And it's great to have that chemistry back and be one-on-one, face-to-face, and talk about it, talk about the sport that we love. And that is racing. So, yeah, I unfortunately did not catch most of the race, but what I did see was those closing laps.
Yeah.
So I got home right after work. I was working my part-time job in the mid-afternoon. And then when I got back home, it was about 29, 30 laps to go, and I watched Kyle Larson try to chase down Denny Hamlin. I know there was a late race restart, I believe, there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure at what point that was, but from what I saw, dirty air was a play. Whoever could take that lead, what we've seen in the past, not just the next-gen car. I know that it's been a problem with the next-gen car, dirty air. We've been talking about the rear diffuser a lot, but even with previous generation cars, the leader gets the lead, and they kind of run away with it.
Yeah.
This case, Larson was catching him because I think Larson had a faster car, as he's had all season, a faster car to many competitors. However, a pit road issue, I believe he had. That's how Denny Hamlin got the lead off pit road. And once you lose the lead, especially in a dirty air type of race, like you said, you just can't get it back. It's not that easy. And also, when you're going against Denny Hamlin, when he gets this lead late in the race, or he's been leading a lot of laps, somebody of his caliber, we all know, certainly not going to let it go.
Yeah, 100%. And I think there's been a big three, in my opinion, of drivers that have been competitive week in, week out, no matter what the track. And that's been Kyle Larson, I think, number one fast every weekend.
Yep.
William Byron, his notably for the end of the races, those guys find it. They may not qualify great, but William Byron is always up there. Like, first DNF of the season this weekend at Dover. He hadn't had a finish outside of, I believe, really 15th, 20th all year long, besides some issues they had at Martinsville. And then Denny Hamlin, I think, could be put in that big three as well.
Yep.
Number one, just because of all the wins he's acclimated this year. He's got three so far, scored his third win of the season. So I think
you got a guy right at that borderline. I think that's Martin Truex Jr. Once he breaks through for that win, he joins that big four category, I believe. But he just hasn't yet punched his ticket in victory lane. That's why we can't talk about him like that. But he's running up in the top five, and that's been seen because he's second in the points right now.
100%, which I think is huge for Truex, a guy that came off a 2022 season where they didn't score a victory.
Yep.
They were consistent, but not consistent enough to be great that year, right? He contemplated retirement, blah, blah, blah. Last 2 years shows nothing of retirement to me. I think he's got to keep going. I mean, he's almost seems like not at the top of his game just because we saw how historically amazing he was, like in 2017, right? But, you know, if that season didn't happen, I think he'd be at the best, you know, shape he's been of his career. Last year, obviously, he was really great, got a lot of victories, a lot of points. This year, same thing. He's still second in points. He's going to be chasing that regular season championship.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be huge to see where he goes.
Right. That's an individualistic perspective. But when you look at Toyota as a whole, they're getting stronger and stronger every week. I mean, we're talking about Hendrick really being the mainstay for Chevrolet as they've been. They're competing for the championships. We had the Chase Elliott Championship. We had the Kyle Larson Championship. Team Penske of the last 2 years. Joe Gibbs has been out of it. However, they've always had a guy in the Final Four. And Truex has been that guy to reach the Final Four a couple times, more than on many occasions. And he can certainly do it again this year, the way that he's been running. Like you said, no signs of like slowing down, in my opinion. Those one-year deals are probably going to be probable for him. We can talk about that later once we get into kind of the silly season rumors and stuff like that. But also, if you're Joe Gibbs, there's no better driver right now that you could throw in the 19.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think that for sure, especially when you have a guy who was maybe next up, John Ernie Macek. He's already in Cup. We know Legacy's not as great as Joe Gibbs Racing, but he's
not just yet. I mean, they're not going to get to JGR level, but they're certainly going to match, I believe, 2311 level sooner rather than later.
100%. And so you look at Hendrick Motorsports, who right now has all four drivers in the top nine in points. Alex Bowman squeezing into that ninth spot. I believe he just jumped Ross Chastain after a pretty solid run for him at Dover.
Nice.
Him and Ross are believed to be tied at the moment right now, but he gets that ninth spot in the standings. Joe Gibbs Racing's basically almost the same way, except for somebody that's been struggling lately, and that's Christopher Bell. He sits 17th in the points standings right now, had another crash at Dover, he crashed at Talladega. I mean, a lot of these things are, you know, things where they've been getting into incidents. You know, he had a great run middle beginning of the year from Phoenix to Richmond. He did not finish outside the top 10. But now they're racking up DNFs, bad finishes, incidents. I know it's a thing they're going to overcome. But, you know, for Joe Gibbs Racing, once he overcomes that hurdle, I mean, there's no disputing that Hendrick and Joe Gibbs Racing are the two
top beaten dogs heads right now, right? Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think, you know, but now that kind of leaves the question, who's going to be the other team to step up, right? Last year, around summertime, beginning playoffs, RFK started going crazy, right?
Yeah, well, Penske, one guy in particular.
One guy in particular. Brad was having pretty consistent runs, but Chris Buescher went off on a tangent.
Capitalizing three races. An opportunity.
Big time for him.
Yep.
Penske Racing, they always show up at the end of the year. We know that. But
usually they peak in the beginning of the year.
They usually
die
do.
Off for the summer months. We haven't seen that yet.
We haven't seen it. We haven't seen a Ford victory yet this year.
That's
and I think that's one storyline that, we can definitely note on here is we have teams like that I think aren't doing terrible, right? I think RFK Racing's just had some bad luck this year. They've had speed. Haven't picked off where I thought they were going to be, but I think they'll pick it back up. Penske, to me, I think has been a little disappointing. I haven't seen those super strong runs out of Joey Logano. I haven't seen Ryan Blaney really totally back up his championship run this year yet. And Austin Cindric, we know the story there. You know, he's still trying to find his footing. Hopefully they can get some consistent runs going. Stuart Haas Racing is getting better, but they're not race winning yet. We'll have a specific driver in mind we're going to talk about a little bit later as well, who's been killing it. But who do you think that first Ford team and or driver is going to be that gets that victory this year for Ford?
I think the safe pick is probably Team Penske, but you want to say Brad Keselowski, right? I mean, this guy has finished second two of the last 3 weeks, I believe.
Yeah, he's
Talladega.
Been close.
And Texas.
Super Speedways, he's always there.
He's always there.
Always there.
I mean, he won a couple hundred feet away from a win there. So, yes, I mean, as long as RFK can continue to kind of have this uptick in performance, you're going to knock on the door, and a guy that's won previously 30-something times in the Cup Series is going to do it once again. However, we haven't seen that win yet, and the safer pick would be the guys who have won multiple times over the last 2 years and the guys who have won the last two championships, either Joey Logano or Ryan Blaney. So I'd say at one of these upcoming tracks that we have, I'd say that Ryan or Joey would be the best pick. I'm going to go with probably a Joey Logano, just because Joey's wins sometimes happen so sporadically, even when seasons he has a lot of speed. He's like mired back in 6th or 7th, he'll have a good run, but he'll hop up in the top 5, and then he'll kind of run, you know, back half of the top 10. Then he comes out of nowhere a couple weeks later, and he wins a race, and then he's back to running 15th. It's like all these things, just all of his performances kind of go up and down sometimes. And we've seen this time and time again with Team Penske in particularly, like we mentioned before. the peak of the beginning of the season, wins, wins, wins. Summer kind of dies off. Then when they get in the playoffs, they ramp it up. We haven't seen this yet where it's been a complete slow start, but I believe right before that summertime, the whole channel switch comes when we go to NBC, yeah. I believe Joey Logano will be locked in the playoffs by that point. They're going to come on some speed, they're going to crack on some speed, and they're going to be in victory lane sooner rather than later.
And one thing we can talk about, that big three slash four that we talked about when you added in Martin Truex Jr., I think one thing consistent about all those drivers, and this will note back to Blaney here, Larson, Truex, Byron, and who's on Hamlin.
Yeah.
They all have had have seasons where they have knocked off win after win after win after win. Now, that doesn't matter when you get to the playoffs anymore, right? It just matters how you get through those playoffs. Ryan Blaney, we've never seen have that kind of season. And that's not a total knock on them. Ryan Blaney's never had a season where he's just gone out there and been like, whoa, Ryan Blaney, they're killing it right now. They got like 4 to 5 wins. I think the most wins he's probably had in a season. Yeah, it was maybe three. Yeah. Obviously went off on a tangent last year.
I think that was still, 4 wins last year?
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, he's 7th in the point standings right now, but we've never seen them been that huge race-winning organization. So I think this is something that, not a knock on them, right? But I still think that they're going to be able to find it at the end. Like we say, Penske peaks early, and then they peak late. They really don't peak over the summer. But I don't know. I don't know what we'll see from Ryan Blaney this season, because we're going to sit here, right? I feel like I was at the same point last year where it's like Ryan Blaney's not really winning a whole bunch, but they're being consistent. But he wasn't in my championship favorites. Like, I feel like at this point last year, I was sitting on William Byron. I was sitting on Kyle Larson. I was sitting on Truex. I wasn't thinking Ryan Blaney. And then we get to last year. We get to, we get to Talladega where he wins. Okay. We get to Martinsville. He gets himself in the Final Four. It's like, whoa, Ryan Blaney and this team, they're going to be contenders here.
Yeah.
So do you think we see another season like that out of them?
I think we see a season in the late playoff push. However, we're going to have different contenders, right? Everybody that's winning races right now, we can sit here and say that this is great for their seasons. Like, yeah, they're going to build up the playoff points, but it's really like how you said, you get through those rounds. And if you just do enough to get through the rounds, you're punching your ticket to the round of 8, and then you're one win away, theoretically, from making Phoenix. We saw that with Ryan Blaney. I'll say from last year, which I think I read this, but I wholeheartedly believe it, Ryan Blaney won a championship in a month and a half.
Yeah.
He won that championship in that final month and a half from that Talladega win. It completely springboarded his run to the championship. And maybe we see a whole different tale with Penske.
Yeah.
They're not going to peak. They're not peaking in the beginning of the season in the first 10 races. So what about if we just see them come into the summer, run strong, and kind of run away with something or have a lot of strength into the playoffs, and they carry that through the rest of the season. But, of course, you have your heavyweight contenders, the Larson, the Truex, the Elliott, the Hamlin, who else am I talking about? Well, there's a couple other guys. Let's say, the second-tier guys that can also ramp it up, like a Chastain, maybe a Kyle Busch. These guys that can also make round of 8 pushes. So you have to be wary about their late season pushes or their mid-season pushes. But there's a lot of people that also have a lot of potential to show for later in the half of the season. We've seen these four guys kind of run at the top, and they've won a lot of races, or they've won a couple of races. They've been kind of owning the season. Back to what you were saying, I do think we see a couple of wins out of the organization. I don't know. I can't tell you, obviously, if Joey or Ryan runs all the way to the championship four.
Yeah.
I put my money on Joey just because it's consistent. It's an even year. But, that even year thing with Joey. Mm-hmm. So, you could put bets on him. I wouldn't guarantee him. Like, I would guarantee Larson, obviously, or Truex or Hamlin at this point.
Yeah, I think that'll be definitely a fun storyline to follow. Always is, especially as you get into the summer months here. Summer's just always fun. You got a lot of unique tracks in there. NBC comes along to make us all happy. That's one thing for sure. But next thing I want to jump into here, I want to, as we look at the point standings here, let's see, touch screen. Oh, crap. All right. So as we look at the point standings here, I want to get into our biggest pleasant surprise as we look at it right now and our biggest disappointment. So I'll start by saying
I think we might have gotten the same pleasant surprise.
So my biggest, but we'll see. My biggest pleasant surprise is Carson Hocevar.
Okay. I thought you were going to go there after when I saw your eyes.
Okay. So, yeah, my biggest pleasant surprise is Carson Hocevar. He is 20th in the point standings right now. Those guys have been notching off a bunch of consistent runs. I want to pull up kind of what he's been finishing this year. But let's just say he's been racking off a lot of top 20s. They've even ran into some just unfortunate race-ending, you know, incidents that have kind of resulted in DNFs where they could have had better finishes. But, you know, he comes out in the second race of the year. He runs 19th at Atlanta, 15th at Vegas, 15th at Phoenix, a 27th at Bristol. He knocks off a 17th at Martinsville. He got 10th at Texas Motor Speedway, which I think was tremendous for them. Yeah. Managed to keep it clean, keep it in the top 20 at Talladega, and then a 22nd just now at Dover, where he was involved in an incident and was still able to make it to 22nd. But I think either way, Carson Hocevar for that Spire Motorsports team, for what they want to be this year. As far as driver talent, if you just look at that team strictly roster-wise, Corey LaJoie, Carson Hocevar, Zane Smith, you're like, damn, this team can do numbers this year, right? And that 7 car really was the flagship car. Corey LaJoie, he's 30th in the standings right now. They've not had the year they wanted. Zane Smith is in an utterly disgusting year. He is 35th in the standings right now. They just keep wrecking. They haven't really had tremendous speed. I don't know what's going on there. But Carson Hocevar has absolutely hit it off to keep that Spire Motorsports team alive and on the map. So he's been my biggest pleasant surprise. Who's been your surprise, biggest surprise for you this year?
I'll touch on Hocevar real quick, and I think that's key to say, yes, a pleasant surprise. However, the way he was running for Legacy last year, when he was running those part-time races, that fill-in role.
It's true.
I did kind of see this for him, but I was only doubtful on the team.
Yeah.
I didn't know how he was going to gel with Spire. I didn't know how Spire would, you know, when a team builds up and has a good season, like Corey did have a great season for his standards, and the team did a better job. They invested in the cars more, and they've been investing in the cars more, but to expand it to 3 cars, to make 3 full-time teams now, to continue that performance, to keep on going up year on year out, that is like the hardest part, to keep that consistency going. You can have a couple good races, like Chris Buescher, right? He won 3 races last year. We think RFK is going to continue moving up and up. It's hard to keep that boat flowing and running, you know? So now if Chris Buescher comes out here this season, backs it up with 2 more wins, great. But if he doesn't have that kind of thing, it's like people forget about it a little bit. He doesn't have that kind of season, people forget about it. Hocevar, I believe, I expected him to kind of be the shining light of the team, I guess. Because Zane Smith is in a peculiar situation. He's kind of on loan. It's a very much, in my opinion, of a third car effort. You 100%. Know? And then you have Corey LaJoie, who was like, he is the guy that they have to keep on building on, right? Like, Carson is fresh. So, Corey, obviously not the season that they've wanted so far. I've seen some statistics that I don't particularly remember for Zane. But with Corey, I know that it's just been an abysmal start to the year. Yeah. But Carson, he's got the talent. So it's not a complete surprise to me. Somebody who is a surprise to me, because the team is doubtful and the driver was doubtful too, because he wasn't in a car for a while there. And that's Noah Gragson.
Yeah.
He's been knocking off, I'm not exactly sure how many top 10s, but a decent amount of top 10s. And when they're top 10s, they are strong top 10s. Yeah. We're talking almost top 5s here. And I believe he finished in the top 10 yesterday. It's 6th place for him. And I believe he's finished 6th. All of his top 10s have been either like 6th, and I think he had like a 9th place finish one weekend.
Yeah, he had one. He had a great run at Vegas for him as well.
Yeah.
And all around he's been great this year as we kind of pull up the finishes here. He got 6th at Dover. He got 3rd at Talladega. That's what propelled him up really well.
Yep.
18th at Texas, 20th at Martinsville, 12th at Richmond.
We're talking about a couple DNFs here.
Yeah, a few DNFs. 12th at Phoenix. 6th at Las Vegas. I mean, you take off,
It's a little bit of feast or famine for him.
Yeah, you take off a DNF at Atlanta, right? 36, that's going to kill you in the points. Bristol, unfortunate result, 34th. But, I mean, they are on the come up right now. They didn't start huge in the point standings, but he just continues to rack off consistent finishes. And I think if as you look at certain guys that are above him right now in the standings, as far as how they're running, I think he can certainly pass an Austin Cindric in the point standings for sure.
Yep.
The Cup Series is so competitive, right? So we're talking about a guy that's been consistent and gotten good finishes, only sits 21st in the point standings. That's how competitive this is. But you know what? I mean, you couldn't count out him just magically getting a win.
Exactly. You couldn't. There's plenty of places where you could steal one. You know, we're talking about maybe an intermediate track, or we're talking about a super speedway, Daytona in the summer. However, real quick, I think, doesn't Noah he did get a penalty, right? Him and Chase.
Yes.
They did get a penalty. I'm not sure how many points that was. They did
hurt him in points, yes.
25, maybe. Yeah. It wasn't a massive penalty.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a 100-point deduction like Justin Haley got at a colleague last year or anything like that. But we're talking to something that definitely sets you back, right? Mm-hmm. And especially in the beginning of the season when the points are very tight and it's very minimal to make mistakes. But, yeah, Noah has been a complete 180 because, number one, yes, he lost his ride last year for some unfortunate circumstances. However, the whole mindset thing of a driver is huge. Any athlete has to go through a mindset change. This team, theoretically, didn't really want him at the end of the day. I believe they didn't want him. There were some rumors going on in the garage that Jimmy Johnson didn't really see him fit in their team. It just didn't fit the whole idea when Toyota was coming on board. There's a whole rebrand for Legacy Motor Club a year after their whole actual name rebrand. And they're just a new, fresh team, and that idea didn't have Noah fit into that whole, stratosphere. So, we're looking at him moving to a team that, when you look at all the combined drivers, has one career win. I think about that when I'm taking a shower. I think about that when I'm driving. I'm like, I cannot believe that this team
Stewart-Haas Racing sucks.
Had Tony Stewart and had Kevin Harvick. And Ryan Newman of old has gone down to not this low, because I'm going to tell you right now, all their four drivers are very talented, in my opinion. All of them. They're very talented. The thing is that Ford has been struggling overall, and Stewart-Haas even struggled with Harvick.
Yeah.
But for Noah to come out of that kind of like lull, losing the ride, being out of NASCAR for the latter half of last year, come back to an organization that hasn't seen a ton of success lately, other than one guy that was holding it up, and now he commentates every weekend, we see him superseding any of the issues, and we see him rising above the challenge and running well when he needs to. And I think that's simply because he's taking what the car is giving him. He's not overdriving. And he's taking this as his rookie year. I'd say that that's what he's probably doing. It's been a whole mindset change for him, I believe. I've seen pictures of him. He's been in the gym. He looks thinner. He looks healthier. Looks stronger. And he's ready to go for the rest of the year. Steal a win or not, successful year so far. He continues doing this, maybe 17th, 18th, right outside the playoff standings. Doesn't make the playoffs, not a losing season for him.
Yeah.
I think he's he's made himself into a renewed driver, completely.
Yeah. I agree. I think Stewart-Haas Racing as a whole has certainly done a little bit better than we would have thought.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying he's been the only, like, when he's there, Chase has been there a little bit too. I think it was Phoenix, both of them were running in the top 10. I know Chase is always good at Phoenix, but,
I think the big thing is, like, obviously 4 years ago, our expectations, Stewart-Haas Racing, we'd be sitting here like, damn, they suck, you know? But after witnessing what we witnessed last year, I think my biggest expectation for them was that they need to come out of this year saying, hey, we improved a lot, right? They need to, you know, maybe they start the year running outside the top 20. They need to run for top 10s at the end of the year. Yep. Chase Briscoe, 12th in the point standings. I think that is super quiet of him for sure, because nobody's really been talking about him this year. But I think to be sitting as high as he is, that's great for them. Fantastic. Josh Berry has been knocking off some great runs based on the track. I know, going to tracks where he's probably going to be good at, right? When we went to Martinsville, he was really fast. Going to Bristol, he was pretty good. You go to Richmond, he was actually really fast at Richmond. Well, Dover, right? Tracks. These are Josh Berry-esque tracks.
Yep.
The hurdle's going to be other tracks other than that. I think if Stewart-Haas Racing, we'll have a little whole conversation about 2025 in a little. But I think if SHR sells a charter, it's going to be the 41, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I still think all four drivers we know are talented in their own ways. I think it's just about the team, the crew chiefs as a whole, getting it together, making something happen. Noah Gregson is certainly on the right track. Now, my disappointment, I'm going to go in on this one. My biggest disappointment here is Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon is 31st in the point standings. I think they had some sort of penalty this year, but it still doesn't matter, even if they did or they didn't, because they have absolutely sucked. They have no top fives. They don't qualify well. I think he has one finish. Let's just look. I was just looking at his results, and it was so disgusting I had to look away. But we're going to pull it back up here. Yeah, we have a 27th at Dover. They just did not contend at all. He started 23rd. They finished 30th at Talladega, whatever. Texas, the only track that I guess saved his career in 2020, where he won at, on old tires. He started 15th, finished 8th. So that was their only good run of the year. Martinsville, started 28th, finished 34th. Richmond, started 22nd, finished 24th. Coda started 21st, finished 25th. That could go on and on. It gets even worse as you go further in here. So they made a crew chief change as well, mid-season. Keith Rodden was on the box, and they were like, you know what? We're sucking right now. They switched him out. Justin Alexander comes in. They still suck. I know he hasn't been in there for long, but my opinion is, look, I feel like I've went to battle with Austin Dillon fans on this for years, but since 2014, he has been mediocre. I think he had one pretty good season. I think everybody goes back to his 2016. Oh. Or 2018, maybe it was.
Well, when he won the
2016, he won the 600. Won the Coke 600. Yeah, 2018, yes. He was pretty good as well.
Yeah. I'm sorry, 17, that, he won the Coke 600.
Yeah. But other than that, Austin Dillon has just been mediocre, in my opinion. And now when you finally have a guy that comes to the team like Kyle Busch, we know Kyle Busch is likely going to outperform 85% of the field.
I'd say right? 90.
92, and what he steps into.
Yeah.
We know how talented the drivers are nowadays, and we know how talented the teams are. He ran RCR to 2 wins last year. Very strong effort in the point standings.
Three wins last year.
Right now he sits 11th in the point standings. No wins yet, and they've struggled this year too. Like, I feel like he's had some bad runs, been disappointed. He still sits 11th in the point standings. Just won the pole at Dover. Just started on the pole. Had actually a really good run for them there.
He was running the top five.
Yeah, after he won the pole, I'm sure he would have wanted to win the race. But honestly, they needed that run.
Yes.
To me, while Austin Dillon is fighting for a top 30. I think is ridiculous. I think they need to can him. I think he needs to be gone. everybody can say, oh, they like he's there because we know why he's still there.
Yes.
If this was any other driver, he would have been gone. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think RCR needs to look at themselves in the mirror. They need to do the same thing that they did to Ty Dillon and can him. Right, Ty Dillon's racing for Rackley in the Truck Series, and before that, he was at what Legacy? He was at Germain Racing. Like, they never even took him on in the Cup Series. He never raced for us.
Still Petty GMS.
Yeah, Petty GMS.
And then when they rebranded, he's out.
Yeah, he's gone. But I think Austin Dillon needs to take a step back, and I think he needs to go to the Xfinity Series. In my opinion, I think the Xfinity Series is the place to prove yourself. I think the Xfinity Series is a play. I mean, we're seeing Cole Custer do it right now.
Yep.
But I think the biggest argument I'll present to Austin Dillon, and I'll see all the Austin Dillon saying, oh, it's the car, it's this, it's that. He's been in the Cup Series since 2014. We are going on season number 10 of him being a full-time driver, and we're still having an argument about if he can do it in the Cup level or not. And I get what you can say about back then. Austin Dillon won, two Xfinity Series championships, right? Or no, he won. Did he win Trucks and an Xfinity, or did he win two? I think he won Trucks Xfinity.
Yes, he won Trucks and Xfinity.
And then he comes to Cup.
You're
okay,
about my disappointment won two Xfinity championships.
We're talking about back then, right? We could go back and say, oh, Cole Custer. I mean, I'd even say this sometimes. Like, Cole Custer was in the Xfinity Series and got 7 wins. Would we agree he probably should have been demoted for Ryan Preece a few years ago? I would say yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it just wasn't working out. They were doing terrible in that 41 car, and he went back to the Xfinity Series. And look, he's reinvented himself. He was an Xfinity Series champion. John Hunter Nemechek went down to the Truck Series and probably
that was a little different.
That was a little bit
different. You know, John was coming to his prime.
Yeah. He was driving for some stinky teams.
He was just running. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I guess that is a little bit different. I think Cole Custer's definitely a better comparison.
Reinvestment of career.
Yeah.
Opposed to not running well, needing to, need to change things.
So yeah. I think RCR needs to look themselves in the mirror. I think they need to look at their Xfinity Series program right now that has 2 of the hottest drivers in the Xfinity Series, in my opinion. Austin Hill, who I think has become more versatile each year. Like, we know him as, like, the super speedway GOAT in the Xfinity Series. Like, you got to get through Austin. Like, it doesn't even matter if he wrecks 2 times. He's still up there at the finish every single race.
Yeah.
Even at Talladega, he literally crashed with, like, on an overtime restart, and then he was almost about to win the race.
Yeah.
And then you look at Jesse Love, who it's going to be a little bit till he gets to that Cup level, but he's already killing it. He did win at Talladega, yes, but he has been qualifying great. He's been running great. I think he hasn't finished outside the top 10. I think that's the big statistic with him. But you got to look at your 2 big guys right there in the Xfinity Series and be like, could they go in that 3 car and do better right now with, you know, the right investment? I 100% think they could. So in my opinion, I think next season, I think Austin Dillon's contract right now runs through 2025 or until 2025. I'm not sure. But either way, I think a trade needs to be done. I think when Austin Hill eventually does make it to that Cup level, I think he needs to take that seat in the three car. Whether you want to change the number because you want to give that number to Austin.
They would change the
number. Yeah, the 33, I don't care what number it is. 69, 72, 104, I don't care what the number is. Austin Dillon needs to go, in my opinion. We're going to get to all the rest of the drivers that I also think need to go. I got some great tangents for them. It's been a while since we recorded a podcast, so I haven't gotten a rant in a while, so it's been all these building rants. But before we get to that, give me your biggest disappointment. I know you gave us a little sneak peek.
I think you're happy with your disappointment. I'm not happy with my disappointment. Yeah. I wish my disappointment wasn't a disappointment. Because I truly think this guy, given the right equipment, being the only driver on his team, single car effort, I believe that this guy always has the ability to win. And like, he's always had the ability to win. It's been the situations he's been put in. Yes, he's wrecked oftentimes. Situations he might be out driving the car trying to pick up for the equipment, and the car just can't give him that. He's at a team that currently is in question for next year, and I'm talking about Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Yep.
No top 20s on non-super speedway drafting tracks this year. I think that is a complete disappointment. I mean, we're talking about short tracks where he's fast on short tracks. Maybe the car is not there. And we're talking about intermediates where he's always a contender for a top 10, in my opinion. You go to Vegas, you go to Kansas later this year or this weekend. I feel like he can run 7th or 8th. I think it was not last year when he won the 500. It was the year before, the first year of the next gen. He was clicking off like top, good. Not necessarily finishing in the top 10, but he was running top 10.
He was on a good run 2020 to 2022. That team was on a pretty solid run. They come out and they win the 500.
In
and
2022.
It's just been, they still had some decent runs last year. They kept themselves up in the points. I think they were still top 16.
I think he was going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, either way.
Despite the win.
But
with the winner, with
you're that. Looking for a little bit more, and I understand what you're talking about, especially to start this year.
Exactly.
They had a great run going at Dover. I don't know. I know you didn't get to see most of the race.
I don't know where
they had
a
great run going. Okay. He was running top 10.
Okay, great.
Top 10, top 15, and then got wrecked coming out of pit road.
There you go.
And that ended the race. Right. So that was pretty sad for them.
And what's unfortunate here is that I do have to make the sad admission and admit that I have not seen majority of the season, unfortunately. So I have been missing a lot of races. However, if he has been having good runs and then, like, you know, he makes a bad pit stop or he has an issue and he's, you know, he finishes 26th, there has to be one or two races where you don't have an issue and you run 13th and you finish 13th. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So, like, yes, you can make some excuses, but the excuses only run for how long? I mean, if you're talking about 6 consecutive races, you're running in the top 15, and all of them you finish outside the top 20, that's a problem. You know, you're running into issues. You don't know how to not necessarily capitalize. You're running into issues, and you're not knowing how to overcome those problems. And I bet they're not all happening at the end of the race here. So Dover, yes, a good run. I think he's historically pretty decent at Dover, I want to say. So he's the team, I don't believe, is lacking on speed necessarily. I don't know about his qualifying. I mean, I have it pulled up here. His qualifying is still outside the 20s.
Yeah.
Certainly outside the 20s. Everything is outside 20. So you have to fix it on Saturday. Yeah. There you go. So for me, I'd love for Stenhouse to be running up front. I think he has the talent to. The 47 car, I don't know, we both started watching. You watched NASCAR, started watching NASCAR a little bit before me. The 47 car is like one of those mainstays, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, you look at, like, yes, the 3, the 43, the 24, those are like the big numbers, but the 47 is like, was like the 13, you know? Yeah. It's like these little teams that just can never go away.
They're
and
still
this
there.
And this team is still here, exactly. With Brad Doherty, JTG, Tad and Jody Geschachter.
Yeah.
So, like, they've been consistently there, and unfortunately there's a rumor, we'll get probably into it in the rumor mill section that we'll be coming up on in just a minute, but the team might not be renewed with Kroger. That sponsorship might lead somewhere else, and Tad and Jody Geschachter could, you know, exit the business, and the 47 could potentially be on the line of termination. So we're not sure, but of course that's not what you want to happen. This year hasn't been exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've seen big sponsorship leave a team before. Geico at the 13, and then you see now with Kroger and the 47. But 100%. Like I said, they can turn it around. You know, turn those 21st runs to 27th, turn it into top 17s, and then you slowly just get your wayside. But if you're not qualifying better on Saturday, you're not going to be running better on Sunday, especially how stacked the field is right now.
Yeah, 100%. So I think that can definitely lean into this little silly season replacement talk that I'll kind of spark up here. And a lot of it, some of it'll probably be a harsh truth as well. So
yeah, I know one guy you're going to mention here. So.
Yeah, I'm going to start right here. He's sitting 25th in the point standings. He actually, it's kind of been interesting to talk about this.
Is it Mr. Mid himself?
Yeah, he did actually have his first decent run in the last 3 years at Dover, which was, some of it was by strategy. But I am impressed by the way Daniel Hemric was able to stay up there, and I think he got a ninth place finish at Dover. Yeah. But unless he proves it's early. Look, any of these guys that we say could somehow just turn it on the rest of the season and just start going crazy. But as we sit here right now, it's not like I expected much from him either, but I think Daniel Hemric needs to go. I think Colic Racing, even in their partnership with Trackhouse Racing, has so many better options that they can go with. We could even go as far back to Connor Zilich right now, who's tearing it up. It's going to take a while for him to get up there, but he's undisputed right now. He is really good. He's even
could be
good in ARCA. Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I look at it as a scenario where we know, I feel like at the end of this year, there are charters that are going to move around. It could be JTG. It could be Colic moving off a charter. It could be Stuart Haas Racing selling off a charter. It could be all three of those happening. But I think either way, two teams I think that are getting one more charter guaranteed next year, I feel like 2311 is going to go get their third charter. And I think Trackhouse is going to go get their third charter. So my prediction, I feel like my best move for all parties would be for Colic to sell off one of its charters to Trackhouse, because they already get along. Maybe they give them a deal. Maybe there's going to be some incentives there, because I think Trackhouse, Colic, and Spire all right now are kind of just, right, Zane Smith's a signed Trackhouse driver. He's running with Spire right now. So I think we already know that that's kind of a deal.
Yeah.
I think Colic.
Yeah, kind of running the same business here in some ways. However, I don't want to compare the teams. Trackhouse is on a different level.
So I think Shane Van Gisbergen, I think he finds himself in the Cup Series next year. Okay. I think
great marketable
it
choice.
Could be. Yeah, I think it could be. I think it's just, if it goes for Colic Racing, I think that's just the way that they have to go. I think you put a driver in there, either him or AJ Allmendinger, right? You're not asking for a top 10 in the standings, but you're asking for a top 20 in the standings and a win. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. You're asking for a win. Yeah, exactly. Where you go to a road course and everyone's going to put them in their top three.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the way they have to go.
You have the ringers.
Exactly. I think you have Van Gisbergen in there. If you want to move Allmendinger back up, he's a choice. You have Zane Smith, who knows how long Spire will keep three cars. Maybe that's just to get Zane Smith some work. Maybe they go back down to two and Zane Smith moves up there. I don't know. You look at the Xfinity Series, you do have still some good Chevy drivers that can move up. You do have Austin Hill. You do have Jesse Love. You do have Sammy Smith now in the Chevy program. Sam Mayer as well. You have a lot of guys that I think are knocking on the door. Not loudly, but, you know, a slight knock, you know, I would say. So long story short, Hemric, I think, needs to get out of there. Let's go Harrison Burton. I think even more emphasis on this needs to be the last. Yeah, this needs to be the last year of Harrison Burton in the 21. We've seen now this is year three, which is crazy to think about of him in the 21. And he was never a guy that I feel like lit it on fire in the Xfinity Series, but he was pretty good. But when he moved to they announced he was moving to the 21, that was a big shock to everybody. Number one, because he was moving from Toyota to Ford, but just a big shock of like, oh wow, he's moving over to the 21 car. That's interesting. Yeah. I look at Ford as a team that has Cole Custer ready to move up, a team that I think Riley Herbst is eventually going to move up to the Cup Series in a Ford sometime soon. I know they are kind of technically Penske affiliated, but I still think Ford right now, with how weak they are in their development and teams in the Xfinity Series, Cup Series, I think they're going to be working together to make sure that their drivers are seasoned and move up. So I think Harrison Burton's out after this year. I think he goes somewhere else, hopefully back to the Xfinity Series to just continue to work himself. I don't know where he'll go. You know, I don't think he'd stay with Ford, honestly. I feel like if they move him out, he's just going to go back to Toyota or maybe go to Chevy.
I could see him in the Chevy race
car. Yeah, I could see him in that as well. And then one more person I'll add in here that we can talk about who probably should be out after this year.
In the boot to Corey? No?
I don't know.
It's a question.
It's such a questionable thing, but you know, if you see so many good runs out of Carson Hocevar, you never know.
Yeah,
how much could are you willing to see? Corey LaJoie, I think, is one guy as well that would benefit to move to the Xfinity Series. But you know what? I'm going to go with a more of a logistical move here. I think if Stuart Haas Racing does sell off a charter, I think Ryan Preece is going to be the one that gets the boot. Yeah. I think Chase Briscoe, Josh Berry, and even Noah Gregson now have proven to bring themselves in sponsorship. Ryan Preece, anyone that's been in the 41, I feel like has been that odd man out. Yeah. You know, they've always been sponsored by Haas Automation. and, you know, and I think if you know, I think if they do sell a charter, I think Ryan Preece gets the boot out. I think he is also another driver that I think would really benefit from going to full-time trucks or Xfinity. I think he would do tremendous. But I think for Stuart Haas Racing to sell off the charter to go to three cars, bless you.
Excuse me.
I think that would be a tremendous move for them logistically. Obviously, we don't want it to happen. We want Stuart Haas to be at four cars, full strength, but it just ain't happening. Yep. I think Ryan Preece is an amazing driver, but I just think in the next-gen car, it hasn't been working out. And I would love to see a driver of Ryan Preece's caliber, just like another driver, Ryan Newman, who raced a lot of short tracks, modifieds, want to see him still. To this day, I don't care how old Ryan Newman is. He came in that 66 car in NBM Motorsports at Homestead, ripped the wheels off that thing. He drove that damn thing in the top 20 till the motor exploded. I would love to see Ryan Preece in the Xfinity Series with somebody. But yeah, those are, I feel like, my big three that need changes next year. What would you say?
Yeah, I don't necessarily have a big three lined up right now. From everybody, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, obviously, you know. That Trackhouse Spire Caldy Cole like business mix has been certainly interesting. Yeah. I think I'm not gonna say that this is for sure gonna happen, but I don't think that win at Atlanta secured the 99. I don't believe Suarez secured in his ride. I don't see it. I think they're going to wait for the late summer months and see where he stacks up in the points. Yeah. And if you lock yourself in on points without that win, then I think they re-sign him. But they know how strong a caliber their team can be. If they're preparing for Zane, and if they're preparing for anybody that's coming up to the pipeline like Connor Zilich, you're going to have to make room. And what's better than already having the room made? Yeah. Well, before this guy comes up, right? Before Zane hops over to the 99, but hops over to the main team that he was signed for, right? I don't think a win secures that 99s, right? In my opinion, that's not what I believe. I remember watching the press conference, post-race press conference with Justin Marks, and he said, first off, this Daniel's our guy, and we weren't even thinking about that before the win. That's kind of what he was making remarks. Yeah. I'm like, buddy, this is a business. I hope you know if he didn't win and if he missed the playoffs, you would definitely be questioning yourself. I don't care how much sponsorship Daniel brings in. You can get another driver that can have some sponsorship and bring it in as well. And we're talking about any Xfinity guy. We're not talking about Connor Zilich necessarily. We can talk about any guy in the Xfinity series. He brings a big paycheck. He's at Toyota or Ford, wherever he is. Can come over to Trackhouse. It's an easy team to get along with, it seems. They pulled Chastain, they have him. They pulled Suarez, they saved his career, really. And then you got Zane Smith, who jumped up from the truck series. So it's not exactly like a team that has done everything by the book, right? It's done nothing dirty, obviously, but it's done nothing by the book. They came in, took over Chip Ganassi Racing. I don't believe Suarez, his position is completely secured. Better runs, maybe a second win, a win at a track that's not a super speedway or a road course.
Yeah.
That's, in my opinion, that's what's needed. He signed the next day if he wins at a normal track. Yeah. And you know, I hate to call it a normal track, but I'm talking a track we don't go to every weekend. You know, we're talking about a short track or an intermediate. I'm not sure where he stacks up in the points without a win. I highly doubt it's in the top 16. I'm not sure if that's the case, though.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I mean, I know that win gets you a lot of points, so that's propelled him up there.
Yes.
But
I don't know how the finishes are, if you could look them
other,
up.
You know, other than that, no, that's Xfinity.
Yeah,
it's
Xfinity. I saw Ryan Truex's face.
Yeah, shout out Ryan Truex, though.
For out Ryan Truex.
Heartbreaker for Carson Quapo, though. Is really pulling for him.
I know. I watched the highlights. I didn't watch the race. I heard Ryan won. Didn't watch a lick of the race. Then I see the highlights. I skip to the end, and Carson Quapo's in the top two, and I'm like, holy crap, this kid is good. You know?
Yeah, the finishes have been, you know, I think certainly early in the year, right, we're already three super speedways down and we're only not just, you know, 11 races into the year, not even.
I like to do the math, take away the win, see where he is. You know, I don't know where you would put him in that, though, because, like, whenever you do that, what, does he finish second at Atlanta? Do you put him last? I don't, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So he's 18th in the point standings. Yeah. He has an average finish of 18th, so that kind of does math out, essentially. But Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. I think Daniel Suarez is certainly somebody, like, if you had to pick one of the two Trackhouse teammates, we know who's on the hot seat. We know how much publicity brings in. You know how much sponsorship he brings in. But at the end of the day, right, if he's not racking up those finishes as they need to, it's the same thing I think RCR needs to do, except Austin Dillon's a whole lot damn worse.
No, 100%.
I know I keep slamming on Austin Dillon here, but damn, they are 31st in the point standings, ladies and gentlemen. Behind a struggling Corey LaJoie and Aspire Motorsports car, that is. But yeah, I think Suarez, a guy that Connor Zilich is going to come in, he's going to keep heating it up. Shane Van Gisbergen is somebody that I think is going to continue to get better in the Xfinity series and continue to prove that he's going to
be able to be pretty decent. If we did an Xfinity series episode about pleasant surprises, it would certainly be him, because yes, he won the cup race and everything like that, but yeah, on the ovals is a complete question.
So hard for it to transition.
So hard to transition, but he's done a very nice job of doing so.
He really has, and he's not wrecking cars. He's not, like, I feel like that's one thing we could expect that people forget about.
Either,
yeah,
right?
He's,
like,
not spinning
he's
people
not
out.
Near
he's not doing crazy
or
stuff.
Like that, yeah.
Exactly, he's not doing a bunch of Dawson Cram business. Like, he's, you know, he's there, and shout out Dawson Cram. But you know, I think, yeah, Daniel Suarez is certainly on the hot seat. I think one person that I've heard rumors that could replace him is Kevin Harvick full time next year. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I
can make a note on Harrison Burton real quick.
Yeah,
I
please
know,
do.
If you want to finish that sentence first.
No, you could slam on Harrison.
Okay,
Burton.
I don't want to completely slam on the kid because.
Oh, okay.
I do, but
he's
I don't.
A nice guy.
Yeah, I bet he's a nice guy. You know, he's. He's pretty vanilla in many ways for the Cup Series.
100%.
I mean, you got to back it up with wins, and he's certainly not he's certainly not in a fresh team. We're not talking about 23-11 with their great marketable
certainly
sense.
Tainting the Wood Brothers' legacy.
Who else is somebody that's brought? Oh, Trackhouse. Teams, right? They're like making their teams into some new age, like, reinvented organizations, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're having reserve drivers. They have, you know, lounges by their haulers, haulers at the racetracks. They're making some different changes in the NASCAR paddock. That's what they want to call it now, right?
Goofy.
I mean,
goofy, ah.
Yeah, a little goofy. But you look at that with the owners, right? Wood Brothers, certainly not that. I know that they just announced the news of John Wood becoming their team president.
Maybe that'll bring some change.
One of the historic... I don't know about that one. The speed's got to change, right? So I don't exactly know. Like, I feel like this has been one of the hidden, like, secrets of NASCAR. How close is that 21 truly to the Penske cars?
Yeah.
Yes, they say it's built in-house, but is Harrison Burton that bad, or is that 21 that off?
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's certainly...
Austin Cindric supports that theory. That the 21 is pretty close, but Harrison's just not that fast. Right?
I agree. Because I would say Austin Cindric is better than Harrison Burton. I
think. I'd agree.
Fluidly. Just if you put both of them in, like, an SRX car and set them out, you know, I think Austin Cindric probably...
I think Austin Cindric lap by lap would be faster, yes.
Yeah.
I would probably
It'd be a close battle. It'd be a close battle.
Yeah,
mid,
we're not
sure.
talking... There we go. So Harrison... Yes, going back down the Xfinity series, potentially joining a team that with a different manufacturer certainly could be, a good switch up for him. It could get him back in that equipment. And you said he didn't light up the world, right? But that's the thing with Xfinity to Cup. It's such a drastic change.
It's so hard.
I told you from the beginning about Cole Custer. I said, I know this guy's not going to do well in Cup.
Yeah.
Because, yes, he got 7 wins, right? I'm sorry, when 7 wins, was when he was in the big three?
Yes, the big three.
Yeah, the big three. He was still second to both those guys.
Yeah, he did not end up being Big Me, though.
No, he was not Big Me. Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
It was Tyler Reddick.
Yeah, it was Tyler Reddick, and then Christopher Bell is still, for the Cup career, obviously Tyler has a couple wins. Christopher does, too. Christopher has more of Championship 4 appearances.
Yeah.
I take the Championship 4 appearances over what, you know, maybe an two Xfinity championships. I'm not sure. But or at least the position he's in now in the 20 car, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, 23-11 is still a little bit of a question mark. I know I've been saying that a lot, but, like,
23-11,
how far can they really go? Will they ever be a top tier Toyota team, or will they always play second fiddle?
Yeah.
So that's been my question. However, you put that stuff away when you look at Xfinity and you put it and you put a driver up in Cup, right? You just never know exactly how it's going to play out, right?
Yeah.
Zane Smith, let's just take Zane. This could be, growing team pains and all that, but maybe Zane is just not ready for it. Who knows? Maybe. I really support the guy. I liked him in the truck series. I see what Christian Eckes is doing with his career right now is exactly what Zane Smith did. It's the carbon copy. You're taking a team that ran pretty, you know, early playoffs, not even in the playoffs, what Todd Gilliland did with the 38 truck, and then Zane came in, won a championship.
Yeah.
Took him 2 years, though, which is fine, certainly, but no Xfinity, jumps the cup. Maybe it just it's not a fit. I'm just saying, that's very early. Very early. Yeah. However, there's always these guys. There's guys that's going to acclimate it to it well, and they're going to win a lot of races, and they're going to be championship contenders. And then there's guys that are just going to run mildly average. They're going to be mediocre, or they're going to be Austin Dillon, and they're not going to have the careers. Everybody's got to have a Casey Kane-type career. Everybody's got to have a Michael McDowell-type career.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to fill these guys into these different places. Not everybody's going to be in Byron's position of being 26, and having already 12-plus wins.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and still another 5 wins on the horizon this year. So, when you look at Harrison, and this is coming with Harrison, this was a whole conversation started with Harrison Burton. Yes, Xfinity could help. Do you ever find your way back to Cup, though?
Yeah.
Do you ever find a reason to? Are you just Justin Allgaier?
Yeah.
Just a little sooner? I don't know.
I think you got to make your intention set. Because in my opinion, I think if Justin Allgaier really wanted to go back to Cup, I've recently heard him say, like, he's fine staying in Xfinity.
I think he wanted to go back to Cup a couple years ago, though.
I think, too, it also does depend on your age. Because even when Justin Allgaier did go back down, he was still a little bit older.
He's like 29.
I still think if a team took a chance on him now, he'd be good.
Yes.
But a guy, I think you got to put yourself in a guy like Cole Custer's. I think somebody in Cole Custer's shoes, I think, can make it back up. You know, I think that Justin Allgaier situation is interesting because I know he is really dedicated to being in the Xfinity series and everything like that. But he is certainly, like, he's been a reserve driver before. He's filled in.
Johnson 2020 last year.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Brickyard crashed in pit road. You know, that was unfortunate.
Did he qualify, I think? I don't even know what happened with that.
They didn't qualify at all back then. He got nothing. He got about a few laps and then crashed. That was definitely that was a race for sure. Race.
Well, we're going off on a tangent there, but like with Harrison in particular, I you know, you go back down to Xfinity.
You got
to
set the world on fire.
You got to set the world on fire because Cole Custer, he didn't have to win that championship last year. He's still in that Stewart Haas family. He's not going to be dropped out of there. No one's as comfortable as that guy to move back down, right? And if you're going to move back down, you better be John Hunter Nemechek.
Yeah, that too. I was literally just about to say that name because when John Hunter Nemechek went out there and went crazy in the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series, they had to put him in Cup, right?
Right, you had no choice.
So you have to set the world on fire when you go back down or else they're probably not going to look at you to come back up. Certainly. I think that's a good final analogy of that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the only way you can think about it. I think another guy, like, okay, one more thing. This isn't going to be a hot seat question mark. Like, this guy needs to get out of the car. But do you see Austin Cindric turning into Austin Dillon?
You know, his run has really been disappointing because, you know, he was super good in the Xfinity Series, right?
It's not even good on a road
him versus
stuff.
AJ Allmendinger, exactly. When he ran in 2021,
he was running the top five.
He'd come in the 33. Yeah. He was running great at Road America. Was running great at Coda. It was like, man, when he gets to the Cup Series, he's going to be that guy. I think with this next gen car, it's taken out road ringers. That's my thing.
Sure.
I think somewhat.
Yeah.
And so, because it's made these guys, because the car just drives normally on road courses. It's not some special thing where you're drifting it around everywhere. I think if Austin Cindric goes and runs an, you know, Xfinity road course race, I think he's contending for a win.
I think
you've seen Chase Elliott, right? He's not a top contender on road courses anymore. You go to a road course and it's really
Chase
not.
Chase is a little bit of a peculiar situation.
Yeah.
He just ran. He wasn't a top 10 contender anywhere for a minute. So
I agree, but you look at, you know, we could go even Circuit America's top five, and these were guys that were running top all the race, right? William Byron gets the win. Christopher Bell, he was pretty good on road course. Ty Gibbs was pretty solid on road courses. You got Alex Bowman, Reddick, even Buschert, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. rounding out the top 10. Dude, I think we see a completely different playing field if we're running the Gen 6, so I definitely think the new cars played a factor in that, but same time, you have to adapt, right?
Yep,
we can't just rely on you to be good on road courses. you know, Austin Cindric, you got to put on a performance at Kansas. You got to be good at Martinsville, which is crazy too, because in the Xfinity Series, he was also. It took him some time. It was really fun to watch the progression of Cindric.
Yes.
I'm waiting for that to happen. I think...
Are you a learning curve? Yeah.
He's 19th in state. He's not horrible, but he's not great. He's had a quietly decent mid-year, but when you're in the two-car at Penske, you can't be mid.
No.
Just... I would say the same thing if you were in the three car at Richard Childress Racing, but, you know, he's got himself 10 years out of that career. Don't want to see that from Cindric. Cindric, I think you give him next year. I think if he has another 6th, 17th, 18th, I don't think he could finish outside top 20 this year, but I still think even if he finishes 19th, 18th, you give him another year, you see what happens. You also got to see how the year goes. Okay, was he running good and just got wiped out, blah, blah, blah. There's so many factors in racing. I think he's a guy where you got to give one more year. Fair. You evaluate him next year, especially with all the changes that I do believe are coming next year, right? Because I think that affects how people move around, what other teams are doing, yeah. Right? If you see RCR make the jump and they put Austin Hill in that three car, you see 2311 get a third charter and they put Chandler Smith or Corey Heim in that car, right? You see Trackhouse get that third charter, SVG, Zane Smith comes in there, or Allmendinger, whoever. Then you're sitting there like, oh, crap, we got to make a move here because these teams are getting better and we're staying in the same place, right? Yep, so yep. I think that will also factor into it, but we'll see. That's a great question, though. I think that's a great guy to look
so,
at.
I mean, one thing to know, we don't have to run away with this necessarily, but it is funny how one team like Stuart Haas makes the change to put Cole Custer in the Xfinity Series. Yeah. And if we're talking Cindric running poorly, then we're talking putting Cindric back in Xfinity. One guy... made this whole like cultural shift where if your young guy's not running good in Cup, if you have an opportunity to put him back in Xfinity, this is becoming more of a normalized thing.
Yeah.
If we see this happen I think it should too.
Yeah.
Only because you see Cup guys run in Xfinity anyways.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're looking at a Formula One situation where Formula Two guys, it's only strictly those guys and you can't move or anything like that around. I think you see it. It's needed because it teaches guys that, hey, I don't need to be rushed, you know? And then those guys are particular situations. And I think when you see somebody like Cole Custer completely reinvent himself as a driver, win the championship, that only makes things more encouraged. And Penske has the ability to reopen an Xfinity team, in my opinion. Ford would be right there to help them out if Cindric was to go back to Xfinity.
Yeah.
And yeah, one thing, last thing on that, the progression. Yes, we could see him progress. Like we saw him progress in Xfinity. That's the 2020 season when Chase Briscoe had 9 wins. Everywhere Chase was bad was pretty much everywhere other than short tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And Cindric picked up the pieces everywhere else and he won the championship. Right. He ran away with that at the end of the race, and he deservedly so won the championship. Yeah. Got the promotion to Cup, won the 500 to start his career, which is crazy.
Yeah.
To start his full time career. But anyways, I know you want to get to the next part, I believe. Or did you have one more thing?
Yeah, I think only one more thing on that I had personally was, I think Xfinity Series is a fine level to go to. I think as the Xfinity Series continues to get elevated, statistically as well, viewership's up. They're going to CW Network next year. I think there's a lot of investment
later
in the Xfinity
year.
Series. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Later at the end of the year, produced by NBC. I think... either way, the Cup Series is the Cup Series. Everyone wants to be there. It's the premier level, right? The publicity, the stardom, the big races, right? If you're in the Cup Series, you're hit,
Sunday
right?
Driver, yep.
But I think the Xfinity Series has certainly elevated itself to a point where AJ Allmendinger didn't care. AJ Allmendinger's going to stay in the Xfinity Series. We were talking about Justin Allgaier. I think he'd go to Cup if he got the big opportunity, but he doesn't mind it. People are happy in the Xfinity Series, and I don't think they're dying to move up as much as they were maybe 10 years ago, and that could be because of how the car is driving. It could be just because the Xfinity Series is elevating itself a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I just think, you know, I could literally, when I look at that thing, you could list off 3 drivers, in my opinion.
I think it's because there's a lot of good cars in Xfinity.
That as well. Yeah. I think the field has improved to the point where you can almost put it as competitive as maybe the Cup Series was 10, 15, 20 years ago as far as the teams, you know, that are in there. And the Xfinity, you still got your back market teams. They're still trying.
But you still got 4 teams
up at
the top.
Your mid-pack is strong as hell in the Xfinity Series. Yep. Incredibly strong.
But then you got 4 teams up there that have 4 cars each.
Exactly.
Or 3 cars
each. You can't run for a strong team and slack off in the Xfinity Series. Josh Williams right now is 22nd in the point standings running for college
racing. I kind of predicted that.
Exactly. Shane Van Gisbergen, he's still in 15th. He's improving. He's doing better. Jeb Burton, even for Jordan Anderson, a little surprised, 24th in the point standings. They haven't been great.
Yeah. Where's Parker Retzlaff?
Yeah, Parker Retzlaff right now has had a solid season. He's in 17th. He's doing pretty good. Yes, shout out to GOAT Brennan Poole right now. He's 51 points out of the playoffs. He's in 17th for Alpha Prime Racing.
Does he run full-time?
Yeah, he's running full-time. Okay, so okay, he's ahead of Jordan Anderson Racing. He's at a colleague. He's
only
ahead
of, a couple turn away from a win at Talladega.
He should have gotten that. But yeah. Man, yeah, I just think, you got guys like Austin Dillon, Harrison Burton, and then, yeah, in a few years, if Austin Cindric goes down there, I think it can be really good for them. I think it gives you that competitiveness back as well, right? I think AJ Allmendinger talked a lot. It's like, hey, do I want to go? I think he said in an interview, it's like, do I want to go in the Cup Series and compete for 20th at a mile and a half if we don't have the equipment? Because I think he knows Kolig is not going to be strong. He knows Kolig's not strong in the Cup Series right now. Or if I have the chance, go to the Xfinity Series and compete for wins. Yep. I think if I had to say, was Cole Custer enjoying himself more last year than he was in 2021? I feel like he'd be enjoying himself. He'd say 2023. Yes, he did win the championship, but maybe even before that. I mean, when you're out there, when you're competing for wins, getting checkered flags, and also still getting occasional cup races on the side, I think that's a big deal too. Somebody like, because Custer ran some for Rick Ware Racing last year.
It keeps Herbst, that door open.
Yeah, Allmendinger running that partial schedule. I think that's something that if those guys can get worked out and run, a third car for a team like Austin Dillon, if he ran a third RCR car, I'm sure they'd work that out for him.
Yep.
That'd be something that kind of fixed the nerve. Hey, I still get to go run these Cup Series races, Crown Jewels even, right? The 500, the Coke 600, like Austin Hill's doing. I think it'd be something worth considering. But yeah, the big point there is just I think the Xfinity Series just continues to elevate itself, where people just can't see it as the end of the world if you get sent down there. I mean, you're still gonna go out there, you're gonna rip that car around, compete for wins, you're still gonna be on TV. They're doing great things, and I still think you can make yourself back up. But I think the big lesson learned there is you got to set the world on fire.
Exactly. You gotta set the world on fire, and maybe you turn around your season anyways. Maybe you turn around your career.
Yeah,
I highly doubt it in some scenarios. Yeah. But it could happen this weekend at Kansas. Let's talk about the preview of Kansas. I think that's where you want
to go. Exactly, yes. Let's move it on to Kansas here. Previewing the race. No Xfinity Series, but we do have the Cup Series and the Truck Series. It's going to be a two-day weekend, two-day show.
How we've gone so the weekend. Used to that in NASCAR now.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate, but Saturday is going to kick off a truck practice and end with the truck race at night. But let's talk about the Cup Series race here. They're going to Kansas. It's going to be a middle-of-the-day race, a nice 3 o'clock day race at Kansas, a track that obviously it's a mile and a half with progressive banking that continues to age and continues to give us great racing that I think no matter the car, honestly, has always provided a decent race for us. I think even in the 550 package, honestly, I think the 550 package was built for Kansas. I think it was the only track that gave us some decent racing. Well, at
it's
least
just a good, it's a damn good track.
It's a damn good racetrack. And so
it's a damn good racetrack.
You go to Kansas, I think we're going to see another great race. Kansas lately has been, I know the mile and a okay, we can look at three different factors here. I think in 2024, it's been Hendrick and Joe Gibbs Racing. I think in mile and a half lately, it has certainly been Hendrick Motorsports. I think have been very good.
Yeah, in qualifying in particular.
Yes. And you look at Kansas, 2311 has absolutely dominated Kansas in the last few years.
Three different guys winning.
Kurt Busch winning there, Bubba Wallace winning there, Tyler Reddick there. I think you go into this weekend, I think 2311 is going to be fast. I think Tyler Reddick I would put into my top three.
Yes.
For sure. But man, do I see anybody going out and beating Hendrick or Joe Gibbs or 2311 this weekend? I don't. I think it's going to be a Tyler Reddick, Kyle Larson show.
Okay.
Denny Hamlin as well. Those would be my top three.
Las Vegas.
I'm going to go with Kyle Larson, Tyler Reddick, Denny Hamlin being my big three. If any driver got an issue with that, prove me wrong this weekend, please.
Right. Because
those are the guys to beat at this particular track at this point of the season, in my opinion.
And they've all been having good runs. Tyler Reddick coming off a win at Talladega, 2 weeks ago. Yes, exactly. The Super Speedway, however, momentum triumphs all. Every doubt, every poor run, every bad qualifying session. Winning cures everything, as we know.
Yeah.
He's been running Solid all year. He came, almost won Vegas. I mean, if you remember, he was right behind Kyle Larson off turn four.
Yeah.
Obviously, didn't come away with the win there. That's Larson's only win of the year. He'd be looking for a second win so many times this year. I'm sorry, wait, does Larson have two wins this year? Just one, right?
Yeah, just one.
Just one. Just yeah. one. Yeah, yeah. So many close, close second to so place. Many, yeah. Exactly. He's come close to so many, so much speed. Would be very, very surprised if he's not up there contending late at this racetrack. I don't think you could put Chase Elliott out of the scenario here. Texas.
No, not at all.
Texas made a lot of good strategy decisions. Just saying, Kansas could be one of those strategy type races as well.
Yeah.
You could fall into a certain number of cautions, and you could be running towards the end with different guys that, hey, they were running maybe ninth in the beginning of this race, but they slowly worked their way back up like Chase did at Texas.
Yeah.
I'd like to say Larson. I'd like to say Hamlin as well, and I'd throw Reddick in there. But I'm going to say also Bubba Wallace. Don't overlook his teammate.
Yeah.
He has been running nice good job. This year, and he's due for another good top five run, right? He's been running decent this year is what I should say. And he hasn't been far off. Why we didn't bring him up in the hot seat thing, hot seat question is that he's not certainly not Austin Dillon. He's not that far off of his teammate. He's not Daniel Suarez. He's still ringing off good runs at certain racetracks where, you know, you got to be an all-around good driver. I think this weekend is definitely a weekend where he could put some pep in his step. He's won here before. I mean, 23-11 weirdly has to circle Kansas as like, okay, guys, this is where we can for sure get a win if we were coming here without one. But they already have one. Puts even more stride in their step. I'm going to go Larson. I'm going to go Larson, Elliott, Truex as my top three. Okay. And I'm going to put Bubba right behind there. I'm actually going to say Bubba finishes in front of Tyler this weekend.
Yeah.
I just see it. It's a bold pick, but it's strong.
I think Bubba comes into Kansas with such high expectations for himself and his team. Yep. I think he's going to he'll feel upset with like a 7th place finish, right?
Yes.
I think he wants to come out here and win. They know 23-11's history.
Yep.
When you have such a rich organization like that, I think it's so important for them to follow up. So I think for certainly for the 45 or the 23 to get into victory lane is going to be huge for them.
Yep.
We could look at wild cards here if you want. Maybe just a few drivers that we think will be good. I think Noah Gregson, I think you see another good weekend out of him.
Yeah.
Coming off momentum from Dover, but right, the last track that we kind of had like this was Vegas. They ran very well there.
Yep.
You look down the entry list here. I think somebody like – I think we're going to see Corey Heim in the 43 again this weekend, and I think we see a little bit better of a run. I think we see a top 25, which I think to hop in this car is very impressive, especially to race like Kansas. We've seen so many people make their debuts at Kansas, so I think it's I think we'll see – you know, obviously he made his debut at Dover, but I think we see a top 25 from him. Guys that need to prove something to me this weekend, I think I'm going to look at Front Row Motorsports. I think they started off the year pretty hot in qualifying. We know they have speed.
They lost their way a little bit.
They've lost their way. They've had some bad luck. I know that's been involved in that as well. But when we go to a nice, as they call them, cookie cutter mile and a half like this, no shame in saying cookie cutter, though, at least for me, because I love going to Kansas.
Yep.
And these mile and a halfs lately, they've been very fun to watch. It's just traditional NASCAR racing.
It's what I like to watch at the end.
Exactly.
Of the day.
When you go to short track, it's short track racing. When you go to super speed racing. When you go to mile and a half, I call it NASCAR racing.
Exactly.
Because you don't see it anywhere else.
There you go.
So I think they definitely have to prove something to me this weekend to get back on the right track. Austin Dillon has to prove to me he's not ass, and hopefully they have a good weekend as well. I think Front Row Motorsports is big to me because I think they need to prove to me that they can get back on the right track here and show me something. Jimmy Johnson's racing again this weekend in the 84. I hope they can have a better weekend. He came out in practice at Dover. I think he had the 5th fastest time. Qualifying, they weren't okay, but it was like, okay, maybe they got race pace. He did not have race pace at all. He was one of the worst cars on the racetrack. So I'm hoping he can come out to Kansas and do a little bit better. I know it's a rough transition to the next gen car. Please race Xfinity, Jimmy. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see him out there as well. And then Austin Hill also is going to be out there for RCR. I think that'll be cool to see him on a mile and a half because he usually just runs the restrictor plates for Richard Childress. I think this will be one of his first. I know he's run Michigan. But really, I think this will be his first mile and a half in the next gen car, I believe. So that'll be fun to watch. But who are you looking for? Maybe wild cards, somebody that you're looking to prove you something this weekend. Wild card pick, what you thinking?
Yeah. Some guys that, you know, can give you some pleasant runs, pleasant surprises. I want to get to the winner pick, though. I know we'll definitely do that.
Oh, yeah.
These guys, I think, will do, you know, a top 10 run, maybe, and then a top 20. I want to throw out there, I just had him in my head, like clearly in my head. I am forgetting who. Oh, Ty Gibbs.
Yeah.
Ty Gibbs, great start to the season for this kid. Oh, my God. Like, you're thinking this guy is, like, about to win a championship in his second season. Really, I really thought that. Because once you knock on the door for one win, we know this kid is addicted to winning. Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, they knocked on the door for so long to get a win. Once this kid gets a win, he's going to be the same. He's going to knock down the doors for a lot more wins. He's kind of fell off a little bit, I believe, from the wins. I haven't seen him running up in the top five, the top ten. This weekend, Toyota, I think, is going to be particularly strong in qualifying. I think they're going to have a lot of guys up in the top 10, top 15. And I think Ty is, like, whenever he's running good, he's not just running good because everyone else, a part of Toyota, is running up there. Yeah. He's running second best, third best with Hamlin and Truex, outrunning some teammates. You don't want to. You can be fourth best at Joe Gibbs and still run eighth. But to be up in the top five and be second or third best, that's a different story. And I think Ty has that capability. We could see it out of him this weekend. Another guy, Riley Herbst. I know you mentioned Austin Hill. That's a fun pick. I think Riley is decent on intermediate tracks. He's won in the Xfinity Series at a similar type cookie cutter racetrack like this.
I think this is first Vegas non-plate track.
Non-plate track start.
Next gen car. So that'll
and
be
I
cool
think
as well.
This is going to be an SHR prep car. Yes. So when we're looking at a Stewart House Racing car, they're coming off some momentum. I believe he could have a similar type run to Noah Gregson. I believe, obviously, Noah, if he's destined for a top 10, he'll run top 10. I think we'll sit. I think I can see Riley running top 18, 16th through 22nd. That's kind of where I place him. Could be a pleasant run out of him. And somebody else we mentioned at Front Row Motorsports, I think Michael McDowell, this weekend, you're expecting like a 9th place finish. You're expecting that 7th through 12th place finish. And anything out of the top 10, I think, would be a disappointment, actually.
Yeah.
11th or 12th, sure, expected. That's an objective. But I think that would be too low for him, in my opinion. And then, you know, you got your other guys. I think Ricky Stenhouse Jr., one of my disappointments of the season, my main disappointment. This is a track where he could certainly turn it around. Perfect intermediate.
Yeah.
He's run here well in the past or at similar racetracks like a Vegas. This is the weekend to kind of turn things around. I think you're going to see that him run well. I think you're going to see Todd Gilliland up there as well. If Michael has the speed, I believe Todd will be up there as well. I'm not talking top 15 necessarily, but somewhere in that top 20 potentially. And and then Corey Heim. I know you mentioned a little bit about legacy. Jonathan Nemechek now is, I feel like, kind of their anchor. Obviously, it's only two full time guys. Eric Jones is out for right now. John Hunter, I know Corey Heim, I know we're mentioning Corey, but Corey's, like, you know, only starting a couple of races here until Eric comes back. Now that Eric's out, you're looking at John to kind of drive the ship a little bit, you know, while this other kid kind of just comes in, gets the experience under his belt, and kind of finishes out the races. I know that Jimmy didn't rule out himself driving those races. However, when you hire a guy as a reserve driver, I feel like he should be the one that's consistently piloting the race car. And one thing, Corey runs in trucks, never mind, I'm sorry. I was thinking that he ran full-time Xfinity, and this weekend he can just solely focus on Cup, but that's not the case. Of course, his main gig is on Saturday they race for the trucks, I'd imagine, obviously. So, I think John Hunter is destined for a decent run this weekend, too. We're talking about a cookie-cutter type track again. These guys, like, they just have that, like, they're almost shoe-ins because they've run these tracks so many times growing up, and we've seen them run well. And I think that Toyota, like I said, is overall going to have a strong run this weekend. So I'd like to see John Hunter certainly up there in the top 15. And I think that he could run in the top 15.
I think as I look at the list of crew chiefs here, I think we're listing so many guys here, right, that we're like, okay, driving-wise, they can have a good weekend this weekend, right? They've been great at Kansas. We've seen it in the past. I think this, you know, we know how equal the car is. We know how great the drivers are in this series.
Yep.
I think that's where it translates to the team and the crew chief right here, to build the strategy, building the car.
Yep.
I think that's how important the crew chiefs are. And now in today's game, Ryan Fugel, amazing crew chief on the 24 cars, it says here.
Rudy, no?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I said it. Entry list says Ryan Fugel.
That's very weird.
They're very interesting. But you look at a lot of great crew chiefs, I think, here in the series that we have right now.
Yeah,
I think that's where
I know Alan Gustafson gets a lot of flack, but that Texas race they won because of him, in my opinion.
I think, and every crew chief's gonna make their mistakes and have some bad stints, but it's all about how you adjust from them, right?
There you go.
As soon, I think what's gonna make a crew chief is, okay, how do I get out of this situation? How do we change it, right? That's your crew chief, that's what you're programmed to do. Obviously, it's a blessing if you just roll off the truck really great. But, yes. You know, I think that's what I think.
That's,
you know,
when you've done your homework.
As a Kevin Harvick fan growing up, you know, watching the 2020 season that he completely dominated, that car, they never rail off good. They didn't have a ton of poles. They never rolled off amazing, but it was about how Rodney Childers changed that car. I think especially 2020 when he had no practice, it went into the hands of the drivers and the crew chiefs and how they could change the car throughout the race from the beginning to the end. And I think that's why Rodney and Kevin did so well. But past that,
you're mentioning crew chiefs. This is the guy that hasn't won this year. I said he'd get the first win for Ford this season. He would get the first win for Ford. That's Joey Logano. Paul Wolf.
Yeah, Paul Wolf.
Fantastic
Wolf as well.
Crew chief. I mean, fantastic. Like, this is the guy, like, okay, Penske, you know, let's say you're the leader of the team, you're the competition director, and you're like,
yeah,
okay, guys, we need to pick it up. But then you remember, oh, I got Paul Wolf on top of the box.
Yeah.
That's the guy that would turn it around for the 22 team. You're not searching for that guy. You got the guys in positions. This is the guy that drives the 22 to victory lane.
True. For sure.
Like, obviously, Joey's driving the car, but Paul is somebody that. We can knock on something. We can find something in the middle of the week. Come with the fast car, roll off the truck fine, qualify well, and knock out the win.
Yep.
You know?
I agree. And all right, for race picks here,
yeah,
I'm going Tyler Reddick.
Okay. All right. Race pick. Where I said his teammate would go above him. It's not playing favoritism. I don't want to pick Larson because he just hasn't been able to get it done, but this race was almost his last year. And come on, he's knocking on the door for a second win. I want to go Truex.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to go Truex.
It's a good.
He's knocking on the door.
Yeah, I always feel like they're hit or miss on a mile and a half, so I never know whether to pick him or not.
That's why I didn't put him in the top three.
Yeah.
But I think he might hit on it.
But I think if he's going to be up there, I think he's going to be contending for a win. Like, I feel like a mile and a half, he's either running 15th or he's running second.
And he's racing with a little bit of anger.
He is.
He's
angry.
Ever since
Richmond. That means
ever since Richmond, he's running with some anger, and that's hard to beat a guy that runs like that.
Exactly.
Runs with some passion.
Exactly. So I think either way, regardless, I think we're going to see another great race this weekend at Kansas.
Yeah.
Sunday, 3 o'clock, I think.
It comes right in time after a track where it's tough to pass.
Exactly. Now we got a track where you can run anywhere.
We know we're going to see a show.
Yeah, I think we're going to see 4 weekends here back to back to back to back. We got Kansas, Darlington, North Wilkesboro, just be fun, obviously, and then Charlotte, where I think we're going to see some pretty great racing throughout that schedule. So I think we got a great May stretch coming up here. I think it's going to be a great month for racing. It'll be a great month for NASCAR. The Xfinity Series will be there in as well as the Truck Series.
Yeah.
Any final last thoughts we add in here before we wrap it up?
No, not much. I mean, I was thinking about the end of the year. I mean, that end of this month, you know, when we get to the Indy 500 time, that's a lot of connection with, you know, NASCAR and IndyCar there with Kyle Larson's 1,100-mile stint and doing the double and everything like that. So a huge month of racing coming up. And I believe, now just to make some not outlandish predictions, but we were talking about it, I think Ford gets a win this month.
Yeah, I agree.
Ford pulls off a win. Darlington, I could see belonging to Joey Logano.
Yep.
I'm just saying that. So
100%.
I'll throw that out there, and I'll throw out there that you might see a second Kyle Larson win. You'll see a Truex win, in my opinion, this weekend. I believe that's a solid prediction, and I think you see Kyle Busch turn it around. He's kind of on the upswing now. Last weekend a lot better. Been a little bit off this season, a little rough, like we mentioned before. And I think Trackhouse finds some footing too.
Yeah.
I think Ross. Not necessarily a win over these next month, but I think you find some footing and you see him kind of. We haven't seen him lead a lot.
Yeah,
I don't think he's led a lot of these races. I mean, I know I've missed a couple, but I certainly think he has not led them. So I think you find some footing there, and something's going to get turned around, and you find some speed in that Chevrolet just like you did at like they're doing at Hendricks. So, I think that certainly you're going to see. I think this is the month where it's like. 10 races are done, and maybe 11 now, or 12.
Yeah, 11 down.
11 down, and you're moving on to that next step. You're like, okay, guys, the summer's right here.
Yeah.
And after Charlotte, that's when you start looking at the playoff grid, in my opinion. So so we're in for a fun month, and we're in for a potential a lot of shifting around. But however, I think you see these 4 guys kind of still migrating away with this idea that, oh, this might be the final 4.
Yeah, for sure.
However, they probably won't be the Final Four at the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. We know how that goes. It can jumble around sometimes. But either way, going to be a great race this weekend. Like I said, Sunday, 3 o'clock on FS1. Kansas, then to Darlington. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So, yeah, Sunday, 3 o'clock, FS1 at Kansas Speedway. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. Thanks to all of our sponsors, which is none because we're not consistent enough to hold any sponsors.
We're looking to change that.
Yeah, looking to change that for
not
sure.
Not the sponsor hopefully thing, the consistency soon. Thing.
Yeah, yeah. Then the both. Sponsors. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You got to have one before the other. Exactly. Though, you know? So you got to have people that are willing to invest in us as a podcasting duo here. So hopefully we'll be back next week with another episode and hopefully a great race to recap as well as we lead into Darlington. Thank you guys for tuning in. That's a recap on the beginning of the 2024 season. We'll be back here for more next time around.